Nothing going on but the rent. Gwen Guthrie. I'm playing that for Wes Sigmiller, our next guest, along with Lucy Kahn, who are here about International Day Against Violence Against Sex Workers, which is next Tuesday, right? December the 17th.
That's right.
What is the day about? Why don't you guys tell me?
Well, hey, John. First of all, nice to see you again. So my name is West, and this is my colleague, Lucy. We're from Sex Workers Outreach Project, and this Tuesday, December 17th, is International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers, which is internationally recognized every December 17th. It was founded in 2003,
I think. That's right, by the Sex Workers Outreach Project, which we are a part of. And originally, it was started to commemorate the victims of the Green River Killer, who was a major serial killer in the 80s and took the lives of, he was convicted of taking the lives of 49 people, mostly, mostly sex workers and
women,
teen runaways.
Right, women up in the Seattle, Vancouver area.
That's correct, And he was actually thought of, you know, of taking many more lives.
I'm sure those are the ones I identified, right? Who knows what remains were out there. Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, that's right. So it started out to commemorate those victims, and later on it came to commemorate victims of sexual violence who are sex workers and in the sex industry.
I mean, let's just talk about this for a second, because my last guest and I, during the break, I was telling them you two were coming on, and we started to have a chat about that. Mm-hmm. And I think what it comes out of is that some men, mostly men, I'm guessing, maybe almost all men, think that sex workers are marginal, disposable, less than human, something that I can treat badly, discriminate against, use violence against, and even kill.
For sure. Yeah, and that's something you see in our history and also in our popular media. You know, I was just thinking about Law and Order, SVU, and Dirty Work, Rough Night, all these
There we go, just for you.
All these things, like tropes where dead sex workers, dead hookers are like the butt of the joke, right? And it's taken lightly and as entertainment. And
right.
So that's something that we really want to take seriously by celebrating this day and bringing that.
And yet the work is as ancient as a history of human culture and society itself. You can find it both in the Old and the New Testament. By the way, Jesus hung out with sex workers and lepers, for the record.
He was a cool guy.
He was a cool guy. Yeah. So this day happens all over the world to bring world attention to the fact that this occurs. Yeah.
That's right.
So we got something going on. West Hollywood, I think, is going to give you all a resolution on Monday night.
I guess, on Monday is our West Hollywood City Council. West Hollywood is really like a city on the hill in terms of these issues. And, we actually went to the DA debates the other day, John, you and I, and Swap asked a question of the district attorney candidates if they would support sex work decriminalization for adult consensual sex work, and the question got a huge, uproarious round of applause from the audience.
From a very diverse audience, which blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
Black and brown people primarily, but it was that was the loudest applause line of the night on this question.
Yeah, oh, totally. And I mean, whenever you pose these issues, and especially in historically marginalized communities like black and brown neighborhoods and stuff like that, people that are really affected by these issues, you never really know what their feelings are about it. But I like the response that our question got the other night. It really just shows that the timing is right now for us to really push this issue to the forefront.
Let's define sex workers, because people sitting at home listening may be thinking, prostitute, I get that. But there's other definitions under that word, yeah? Porn stars, for example,
mm-hmm.
right? Strippers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sexual performers. I mean, all of the,
dancers.
Go-go dancers.
BDSM practitioners.
Performers on camera, 976 mm-hmm. hotlines. I mean, mm-hmm. all of these would be considered sex workers, right?
That's right.
But people don't want to talk about it, because generally Americans have a great deal of discomfort about talking about sex. Darn those Puritans. It all started with the Pilgrims.
Well, nowadays, I mean, it's so much more common for, the sex industry has just totally exploded. I mean, porn has gone mainstream, and so many, it's way more common than you realize that young people are engaging in, light forms of sex work, maybe something like compensated dating, what we call, being a sugar baby mm-hmm. to support their education.
Sugar baby was a candy in my generation. That's all I can tell you. It was a chocolate peanut is what it was.
Yummy.
It
still is, huh?
And just working people, poor people in general, they supplement their income with various forms of sex work because they're the ones that need money the most. So when we talk about marginalization of sex workers, it's not just like the types of people you think are getting arrested, like the character you see on Law and Order SVU. I mean, it's those people too, but it's also, it's just people that are trying to get by, people trying to survive. They're all impacted by these issues when we talk about like sex work.
Yeah, and all classes too, I would say, you know, not only lower income and working class, but you know, in academia, many of my colleagues, students, professors, were also doing sex work to supplement their income. So really, I guarantee you know more sex workers than you think you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, not just the people in this room.
Yes, exactly. All of you out there.
Well, in my youth, I was known to wear very low cut shirts in order to get cocktails bought for me. I guess that's a form of sex work in and of itself, maybe. You know, I think fortunately the LGBT community, because we come out of a sexual revolution, we're a little more comfortable talking about these things. Mm-hmm. We had to break down the myths around homosexuality in order to get the revolution off the ground. Back in 1974 here in California, it was illegal to be homosexual in the state of mm-hmm. California. LAPD would routinely raid the bars. And the part of the power that existed around that, the reason that gay people were considered disposable is because we were considered deviant or dirty mm-hmm. or underclass or under the shadows. And therefore, they could do these things to us. So we had to fight that. And I think that's there's a comparison between that period of time, the 1950s, in this country and with the work you are all doing now in 2020. My God, it's 70 years. 70 years later.
Yeah, so we're really excited about our event. It's going to be this Tuesday, December 17th. It's going to be at Altamed. The location is 512 South Indiana Street, 90063, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the issues that you guys have highlighted and some of the solutions you're coming up with to deal with these issues. Thanks for tuning in, gang, here on Channel Q. You better treat her right. Thank you, Donna Summers, for those incredible words. We are here with SWAP, Sex Worker Outreach Program, Wes Stigmiller and Lucy Kahn, who are talking about the International Day Against Violence Against Sex Workers next week. And I guess we've highlighted some of the issues, violence obviously being one. Mm-hmm. What are the other like large issues that we think sex workers have to confront, at least here in, let's just say, United States?
Well, off the top of my head, what I've experienced the most of is just stigma, like from your own community, from your family, from your friends. You sort of live, there's sort of like this phrase, we think of like sex workers live secret lives a lot of the time. So the work can be very isolating because you don't like share it with the people around you. And that also is one of the things that puts sex workers at risk of like all these harms, like violence, mental health issues, substance use.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, when I think about it out loud now with you, all right, so HIV impacts all people, right? Yeah, but if I'm going to the doctor to talk about HIV, I may be talking about my sex partners and how I may have been exposed to HIV. A sex worker has to go through a double reveal almost,
yeah.
Right?
That's
like
right.
I'm because of my partners, and by the way, this is what I do. Or if it's issues around drug addiction or alcoholism, that happens to everybody. But if I'm somebody engaged in sex work, then I have to go even a step further and maybe talk about that connection between the sex work and sharing needles or any of those other issues. There's always a further step, right?
And you're explaining it to your doctor who really should, you know, like understand those dynamics, but they don't. So like, you know, a lot of times sex workers won't access health services because they want to avoid that situation with their doctor. They don't want to feel the stigma again. They don't want to have to explain all of their life and have their doctor look at them across the room and be like, oh, well, this is all because you're a sex worker because of how you make money.
Right. And some sex workers are in basic survival mode. They're doing sex work to eat. They're doing sex work to pay rent. Not everybody is making big money in the porn industry or at the body shop on the Sunset Strip or as a stripper at Mickey's on Santa Monica Boulevard. There are some people who are having a really tough time. So they're not accessing the traditional government benefits like Social Security, Medicare, Medi-Cal, anything else that everybody else gets to just easily, unemployment benefits if they're not working. There's almost like a hidden world that they, or coexisting world they live in. I think that's right. The tough part, yeah. So what, okay, here's a, those are all the problems. Now, what do we do about it? Swap. Lucy and Wes, what do we do to approach all of those issues?
Well, I mean, as a organization that is run by former and current sex workers mostly, it's really important to us to not only work against stigma, but also against for decriminalization. You know, I think a lot of the stigma comes from us being in a field that is criminalized, that this idea that what we get what we deserve, you know, if we receive abuse or things like that. So it's really important to us to kind of, you know, bring us above board in that way.
Yeah, that's a that you just hit something right square on the nose, Lucy. You get what you deserve. Every gay man and lesbian has heard that from the fundamentalist right. AIDS, you get what you deserve. Hate crimes, you get what you deserve. You know, like you get what you deserve because of your lifestyle.
Yeah,
that is exactly what most LGBT people have been fighting against, and that's why we should be picking up the reins with you all, doing this fight with you.
Yeah, and our fight overlaps with so many communities, you know, the LGBT community, you know, people of color, women, trans people, like so many stigmatized or marginalized identities, you know, because sex workers are not just abstract bodies, you know, we inhabit other identities as well.
And you are from the Khan dynasty.
Yes, that's my origin myth.
So you're an Asian woman, and can you tell us a little bit about you personally? You mind sharing on a personal level?
Sure.
I mean, how did Lucy Khan go from Lucy Khan third grader to Lucy Khan advocate for sex workers?
Sure. Well, you know, I was born in China. Both my parents were immigrants. You know, I was raised as an overachieving Asian person. And I was in art school, basically, in graduate school. And I realized, like, oh, shit, I have no money to do anything. This line of, you know, study that I pursued is completely impractical. And so, yeah, I just met someone else who was doing dom work at, like, a bowling alley. Like, I met her at a birthday party.
Dom work. Dominatrix
Yeah, she's
work.
A dominatrix, a professional dominatrix.
Okay.
And she was describing some of the things that she does for work and, you know, involved, like, you know, inflicting pain, this consensual power exchange.
Right, right.
You know, and so I became very fascinated and just simply went on the internet and Googled, like, you know, Dominatrix LA and found somebody to study under.
Wow.
And here we are now, 8 years later.
8 years later. People will pay me to do this.
Yeah, wow, exactly.
Wow. That's exactly. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, you know, as I became more established and my own personal survival needs were met through this work, which I feel so blessed to have stumbled upon, it became really important to me to become involved in, like, a larger community and to give back in any way I could to people who are still, you know, finding their way or needing just help and support and a community to be with.
What would you two say to the critics out there who would say, you know, if you want all these problems to go away, you just need to get a real job, a regular job, not be a sex worker, not be a dominatrix, not do porn, not be a stripper or a go-go boy. You just need to do, you know, retail or real estate or something else. What would you say or respond to that critic?
I mean, personally, I've had jobs that are normal jobs as a cocktail waitress, for example, that I had right before the dom work. And I was treated so much worse. It was so much more degrading doing that line of work than what I do now.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. One of my jobs in college was I was like, you know, the front desk boy at a really fancy spa. You know, I served like all the classy people in San Francisco. Kamala Harris came in and spent like a couple thou on her skincare and stuff. And I mean, she was nice, but in that job, I was just basically like crapped on by rich people. And as a sex worker, that power dynamic totally shifted. I was the one in control. I was the one draining their finances, you know, just totally changed the game.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
We also say sex work is work. It's real work. I mean, the First Lady of America, I mean,
Melania. I'm still with Michelle. I still can't get to Melania. Okay, Melania Trump. Yes, is probably.
Right. Yeah, like where, you know, I'm on that girl's team. Like, I see where she came from, how she came up in society. I don't agree with the policies of her family's administration, but
I feel like she's trapped in Trump world.
Maybe in her case, a little trapped in her own gilded cage, but
yeah, well, that's kind of what it feels like. She built the gilded cage, and now she's trapped in it. I don't have sympathy for her, but I
shouldn't have brought that up. That's a soft spot for you, John.
It is a soft spot for me. I'm like, anything Trump, I just put blinders on anything Trump. That's really cool. So I know West Hollywood is got a proposal on Monday to create a sex worker task force. What is it you all hope to achieve with that task force?
So we're kind of modeling this off of what happened in San Francisco. San Francisco basically implemented some really progressive policies to make sex workers safer and to reduce like the harms that they face. And those policies that were implemented at the city level went on to become state legislation that we know as SB 233, which basically provides some really basic protections to sex workers that are victims of crime so that they can report without fear of getting arrested. Mm. But that statewide law started at the local level. So we're trying to do that here in West Hollywood because, you know, West Hollywood, a lot of people that live there, they're engaged in sex work. And also our economies, there's a lot of sex-based industries in West Hollywood, like the nightlife scene. You know, there's a lot of like erotic
massage parlors, and
strip like
joints,
that.
And et cetera.
The tourism industry.
We have less than a minute left. Do you guys want to tell us about websites, where to get more information, how to follow you on social media? Lucy, West, either of you, both?
Yeah. So you know, we're made up. A lot of young people are in our network. So the best way to reach us is really on Instagram at SWOPLA. So
SWOPLA.
SWOPLA on Instagram.
Got it. Yeah. Lucy, any parting words from you?
Thanks so much for having us and giving us a platform to talk about these important issues. And yeah, I hope to see some of you LA-based people out there on December 17th at our event at Ultimed.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, thank you both for coming in. Gang, when we come back, Leslie Jordan from Will and Grace on his rise from the Deep South to Hollywood Emmy winner here on Channel Q.